All right, Hebrews 13, last chapter. And I'm thinking maybe halfway. We might get halfway tonight. And hopefully we'll have two more. This one and next week. And finish up this chapter. Or finish up the chapter and the book. And hence the lesson. So we'll start at 13:1 and see how far we progress. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege and opportunity to study again as we continue in your word in the book of Hebrews. And we pray, as always, for enlightenment and understanding as we approach your word. And we pray that we might receive it with a ready mind, and that we might get the historical application as well as the practical application as we continue. We thank you for those who are here tonight. We thank you for our minds that we have decided to come here tonight, and we can be other places and do other things, but we just thank you for the time we spend here. We pray for the body universal. We pray for those who have the rule and authority over us. We know that this is an evil day, and we just thank you for the privilege we have to meet unhindered as of right now. And we pray again for the body universal, that you would strengthen each member according to their needs. We thank you again for this time, and we thank you above all for your word and for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. In his name we do pray. Amen. 13:1, where we're finishing up, which is good, which is, and looking at Hebrews, he saves the last chapter for a practical instruction, which is pretty much the theme of most books. If you notice that, if you study, you'll see doctrine first, then practice. If you read, you know, the books. And that's, as my old English teacher used to say, when you know better, you do better. So that should be the case. So we lay down the, you have to have grounds for instruction if you want to instruct in righteousness. You have to have the information there for them to choose. And what I like is God doesn't, he never leaves us for guesswork. Not them, not us. And that's what doctrine is. It's a system, a set of instructions that's designed to change your mind and your behavior. So he lays down the Hebrews doctrine to follow Christ. And in 13, he starts to lay down their practical, how they should walk while they're preparing for the little while, for the little while that's coming. So, 13:1, he says, let brotherly love continue. Be not, I'll tell you what, let's back up a little bit. I don't like to jump right into the chapter because you kind of lose a little bit. 25, see then that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Who spake on earth? Who spake on earth?
I'm sorry, where are you starting from?
22 then. But ye are come unto the Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God.
Oh, Moses.
There, okay, Moses. All right. See then that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made. that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And let's see, he's ready to remove the old, those things that can be shaken, and replace them with the new, which things that cannot be shaken.
Abide.
Which cannot, right, be shaken and remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And he's laying the groundwork down for them to, as they get those final instructions to leave the old, get ready to leave the old, go to the new. And, you know, he still finishes out with, our God is a consuming fire. And I liken that to, most people think that under grace, you have no accountability. And he's saying the same God that was on the mount that you were scared to approach, even though that was an old system, you still have here. It's still our God, and he still will render judgment for those who don't accept this grace. What was the last week? That fail grace. If they fail this grace, if they fail this opportunity, he says, our God is what? Our consuming fire. That's why he says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You don't want to be on the other end. Do you? Do they?
Is it likened to the true Israel versus apostate Israel, and the sign of true Israel is the burning bush that's not consumed? Is there like a parallel there?
I don't see it, but
I'm just asking. I mean, no. I have a note here because I heard Richard Jordan teach that relative to that verse as a picture.
Well, she's making that question was Israel's symbol, which nobody uses, is a burning bush. When Moses was in the desert and he ran into the bush and he turned aside to see why it was not consumed. Well, that's a type of Israel. And even though they've been through, they'll go through that in Egypt, the furnace. They're in the furnace. And the scripture actually called that the iron furnace. When they come through that, but they weren't consumed as a nation, and they never will be as a nation. But in here, he said, our God is a consuming fire. Now, one day, now the true Israel, they will never be consumed.
Right.
But the apostate members.
Isn't that what he's saying, that he's basically saying, choose this day whom you will serve, and those that don't serve them, God is going to consume them.
With in Matthew, remember a few weeks ago you asked about that fire, the unquenchable fire in Matthew 3. Pour out my spirit on my own and burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Okay.
Well, or just talking about the dross or the fuller son of Malachi. Israel is going to be tested.
Right.
And I'm just saying, is this. Anyway, I didn't mean to detract from just going.
Okay. Well, side note. So, and he says, verse 1, 13:1, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. And them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Good practical instruction. And think about, he says, let brotherly love continue. If you're in that situation that the Hebrews will be in that day, I won't say everybody, but there'll be a high level of suspicion for those people. You don't know if they're... I was watching The Matrix yesterday. You don't know if they're an agent. I like that. Every time that movie, I have to watch it. But you don't know. And they could be there to lead you astray. And as a matter of fact, in Matthew, he says, in that day, because iniquity will abound, he said, the love of many will wax cold. So you won't know who to trust. They won't know who to trust. So they'll have a tendency to withdraw and to not fellowship and to not be sociable, to not be hospitable. But he says, let brotherly love what? Continue. That's something simple as that. Because
it's really risky, though.
You don't know. So here's an example. Ananias, I want you to go to the straight street, and there's a man named Saul, and go into there, to that house, and I'm going to tell you what to do. And he says, what? Who? He said, Lord, I heard about this man, and he have letters to come here. And to bind those that call on your name. He said, but he's what? He's praying. Something's happened to Saul. And when Ananias went and he took him, and even Barnabas, when Barnabas wanted to, when Paul wanted to join to the disciples, you know what the scripture said? That they were all afraid of him. This is the same thing that they'll be facing in that time, is to make a decision, or do I trust him or not? If you befriend a stranger, and next thing you know they're knocking on your door, it's like, yeah, I can't believe you did that. You sold me out. And he was like, but that's real. That's a real threat for them. He says, let brotherly love continue. And that's brotherly love, like Philadelphia, the philanthropic love, just to, hey, stop, chat, have a beverage. And that could be your last. You don't know for them. He says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. That's part of their program, where angels will again start to interact with them. That's not happening today. Now, I know people, they say a lot of things like, my angel picked the car up, or my angel steered me away from this danger, and or I met a person and that had to be my guardian angel, and they kept me from this danger and that danger. You ever heard people say that?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how they're not functioning in the physical realm today. There's no need to do that. It's everything for us is on a heavenly level, a spiritual level. And angels are spiritual, but in that day, they'll be just like, I'm thinking when Gideon was threshing in the his wheat, and he met the angel, and he didn't know it was an angel until afterward. Manoah. You know who Manoah is? Manoah. M-A-Noah.
Abraham.
Huh?
Abraham. the angels. They fixed, they had the meal together.
Ah, okay.
On the way to the sun.
Right, Abraham, right. But Noah was Samson's father. Okay. So, but at that time, they were directly interactive with the nation because they are ministering spirits for the nation. That's their job. That's their job to... Remember when Peter was delivered from prison? And the angel came in and they did what? They delivered him. They came in when Paul was in. They came in and delivered him. They were directly interactive with the nation's activities. When Daniel was praying and Gabriel shows up, he says, I'm here for this very reason, to communicate the message to you from God. Well, you won't get that visit, or me, or anybody you know. Because it just doesn't operate like that.
We're educating the angels.
They're watching us, but they're not interacting with us like that. So you don't have to worry about, I wonder if that was an angel that...
Yeah.
No. Not today. But for them, he says... Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. And here's again that national fellowship, which is a good principle for us too. But when the Lord finally judges in that day, and he'll say, come, you blessed, enter the kingdom. And they'll say, well, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was in prison, you visited me. And they're going to say, when? When did we do that? And he'll say what?
When you did it to the least of these, my brother.
You did it unto me. But if they don't do it, if they never think to do it, never remember to do it, that's why he says, remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body, to be a partaker with them. Hebrews 13. So it's, again, I think about Onesimus and Paul. When Paul was in prison, he says, everybody, they left me. Paul, he said, but there's a young man that sought me out. Onesimus. He sought me out.
Diligently.
And he found me. And it said, the Lord grant him mercy in that day. What day? Well, before that day. The day when they knock on his door. Said, we tracked your activity on your Apple iPhone, and we noticed that you went to visit this criminal named Saul or Paul. Is that true? So now, we have a search warrant to check your house. And that day. Because next thing you know, he's... But he wasn't ashamed of his chain. That's what he said. He was not ashamed of my chain. And when I was in Rome, he sought me out diligently. I believe it said very diligently. And found me. He remembered him in bonds as being bound with him. You know, when Paul finishes out something, when he's in the prison, you know what he says? Remember me in my bonds. Do you remember that? Reading that? Mm-hmm. Remember me in my bonds. I was trying to think of where it was. I can't remember. But That's not a bad thing for us to do either. You know what? I think when Ed, I know you remember this. When we went to the jail, when we do the lessons in the jail, that was some of the most dynamic times because everybody's guard's down. Of course, everybody's innocent too, right? So, that's a joke, but nobody's wrong in jail. It's all misunderstanding. but the hope level is high in jail. There's a high level of repentance in jail, and they're ready. They're ready for it, and they're happy. Anybody that comes in there, they're happy to interact. They're happy for that time. Yeah, they're happy for that time where they can come in there, and it was a good time. Verse 4, he says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now, that seems kind of out of place in that list, this is my understanding, and somebody else might have some other information on that. But he's not just talking about the physical union, marriage, or the physical part of it. The doctrine of the marriage is so vast, but it's always an example. It's the object lesson, marriage is, of how God relates to his people. It's always an object lesson. When I say object lesson, that, like he says, husbands, love your wives like, okay, or wives, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord. So it's a comparison. He says, like I do this, Ed, you do this. Like I do this, Jenny, you do this. Or like the church does this, you subject to him. Like I'm the head, you be the head. It's like this, like that. You go to the beginning. What's in the beginning? Without even saying the word, it's a what? It's a marriage. So it's not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him a help meet suitable for him. And he says, let them have dominion, let them rule, replenish. That's what the church's job is. That's what it is. It will be. It starts in Genesis with a unspoken marriage. It's still marriage. It finishes up in Revelation with what?
Marriage.
A marriage. Where they, he says, come, let me show you the Lamb's wife.
And he took me.
And he's... He sees the city coming down where the Lord is joined to the people. He becomes one with the people. So much so where he says, we don't even have lights in this city. We don't have sun or moon in this city. Because the Lord is the light of the city. He says, it's a marriage. That's for them. Where, I'm get sidetracked, but when the Lord shows up and his first miracle was at a wedding. And his mother asked him to do something. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, they ran out of wine. And you know, that's interesting, but this is a little side note, but the part of the marriage is it can't take place without the Spirit, without them being equipped to be marriage material, so to speak, be cleansed and equipped. So the new covenant is what equips them. That's the spirit. Take out the stony heart, put in the heart of flesh. That's new spirit. Well, that's what the water pots are. They had water in them. He says they ran out of wine. Wine is always a type of spirit in Scripture.
He says it on the liquor store.
What is, spirits. It does. There you go. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So you got the six pots on there for, that's your man, number of man to labor. And she says they run out of wine. And he says, this ain't my wedding. My hour, it's not my wedding yet. You know, it's funny. She said, whatever he says, do, you do it. I still don't understand that. But anyway,
whether it was his wedding or not, he was
going to do it. And he did. Yeah. No, I like that, because somebody would say, see, the Lord disobeyed his mother.
He was obeying her, right?
Well, that's what they could have put that in there and said, see, he's not without sin, because he disobeyed his mother right there. You know, they'll stretch out whatever they can find. But he did it. So I like it when he gets to there, he can say, which of you convinces me of sin? What do you have on me? What do you have? You see, now these guys are coming up. 20 years ago, he touched this woman in the wrong way. 19 years ago, he grabbed me on the buttocks. So now, look, this is careers that are destroyed, and the guy's probably like, who? I don't even remember that. Can you imagine if somebody called up and says, we won't use you. Bob grabbed me on the buttocks in high school.
That was a long time ago.
You might remember. Yeah, I was going to say that. I'll remember that.
So, anyway, let me not get side. But if they could find something on the Lord, and they could say, see, back here, you disobeyed your mother. But he didn't. Say it again. So, but anyway, I would say that's why I don't think it. And it's always a type of the spiritual relationship. And he says, marriage is honorable in all. Because it always typifies the relationship with the Lord. But he says, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Well, those are the ones that are not dedicated to him.
Given to idolatry.
They're given to idolatry. And he says, those, he says, I'll judge.
Isn't that the reason that in Revelation, when it talks about the 144,000, that they are virgins? Doesn't mean that they don't have wives.
Right.
But they are pure, right, in their doctrine, pure in their belief.
In their
faith.
Yeah, no, that's okay. That's interesting. I'll just quote this when she said that. In Matthew, the Lord says, let me see that. You might help me out there. He says, There's some men that are made eunuchs. He said, there's some that are born eunuchs. You know what a eunuch is? Anybody don't know what a eunuch is? A eunuch is...
castrated.
Yeah. Thank you. I was thinking of words. That's the word. They don't have to worry about them. The rulers usually put those men
in charge,
right, because they knew there'd be no... He was faithful.
1912.
You looked it up, Matthew 19:12. Okay. We got this rabbit. We got him by the tail. That's Okay. He says, verse, chapter 19, Matthew 19, 12. You know what? He's slipping, but we still have him. We're going to go back a little bit. 19:1. We're going to read quickly. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. That's marriage. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. Now, this is the law. The law always brought out what?
Sin.
The sin, the worst. So the law was, under the law, the woman was, he said, you have her under a performance, a failing performance. So any reason that you find any displeasure in her, guess what? Just write her a bill of divorcement and she's out. That's why the Lord can say, under the law, if you offend in one point, they put under the law, they put themselves under that performance. And when the Lord saw something wrong in them, guess what? They were out. He punished them. And he had to do that because they were not equipped. That makes sense? Okay. So the Lord says, Moses suffered you to do that because of the hardness in your heart. Now watch this. Now the Lord's, here's dispensationalism right here, where he says this, and I say unto you, or he can say this, like he says in chapter 5, but I say what? Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Now, the Lord can say that because, except for idolatry, that's really what he's saying. He says, everything else, you forgive her, but for idolatry, he says, you see what I'm saying? That's what the issue is in his day, is idolatry. Okay.
Alright,
I'm going to try to remember in John. Let me see if I can find this verse. Oh, keep your hand right there. Man, I started.
But you hadn't got to the
root
part yet.
I know. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Now, I'm going to see if I could. This is John chapter 4. John chapter 4. He says, yeah. Verse 7. Man. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Anybody know why besides you? What?
I
Who?
The Samaritans.
They intermingled with the Gentiles, and they were half-breed Jews. And he says, verse 10, Jesus answered and saith unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? It's pretty sharp, huh?
That's a great example of the man without the Spirit can't understand Spirit.
Right. He's going to help her out, though.
Yeah.
Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, take that information that we just read and compare that with John at the water pots. This water is the, and he's going to tell you, it's the Spirit. Okay. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, here's what we want. A lot of side notes there. It's just got tentacles, doesn't it? Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. Now, he says, go call your husband. And she said, I don't have one. And he says, you said that right. He said, you have had five, and the one you have now is not yours. What is he talking about?
She's divorced five times.
No.
She sinned.
She has.
She has five lovers.
Yes, in a sense. Five lovers in a sense. Yes. She was in five idolatrous as Samaritans. And if you can go back and find out, you know what? Egypt, Babylon, Greece, you can go back and find them. And now you in the one. In your current one. So you see how he relates marriage to the actual relationship with the people.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know what he says? Well, see what he says. I've said you don't have to guess. You can always look at it. He says, verse 20 or 19. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers, what? Here's the key. Worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. That's the key. That's the pivot right there. The whole issue, what he's talking about, is proper worship. And he says, you should be married to who?
Me.
Woman, you should be married to
me.
Two more guesses. Woman, you should be married to
husband.
What's his name? What would his name be? woman, you should be married to
Lord.
Okay.
The true God.
All right, watch this. Sarah? Mm-hmm. Anything? All right. You close. You smoking hot. All right, here we go. Here we go. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped, our fathers were married in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to marry. Do you see that?
In other words, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. They worshipped Baal, right?
That's where the idolatry. Anything outside of where the Lord is what?
Idolatry.
So the minute you went out of Jerusalem, guess what? You had the wrong husband.
Right. And in Jerusalem is the true temple.
That's why he said this. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me. The hour cometh when ye shall neither worship in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is what? Of the Jews. And he goes on to talk about them seeking the Spirit.
So I take it she was a co-mingler and not a product of co-mingling.
She was an idolater.
Right, she was a Jew.
Let me say this before.
A Jew, but married or started.
Wherever it started, she was a product or a half breed idolater. In Samaria, this is just to move on. In Samaria is when Jeroboam and Rehoboam were in fighting for the kingdom. When the first division started, what they did was the Jerusalem. Those who stayed, the two tribes that stayed, they worshiped in Jerusalem. When they broke away, they set up two calves in Samaria to worship.
So there wouldn't be inconvenient.
And it says, listen, why are you going way up there?
Yeah, we'll do it our way down here.
And so the true worship was in Jerusalem. And he said, look, you don't have to go. You don't have to go over there. And we got two calves right here. Just come on down the street. Worship, go back home. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. That's where it started. I mean, that's where it kept going.
He changed times and laws.
The whole, yeah.
Yeah.
The system.
The 14th day and nice, then it was, well, we'll do this on the 17th.
There was the whole system was designed to draw away. To commit what?
Idolatry.
Right, or adultery. Like, you know what? Ed's gone. Hey, Annette, how are you doing?
How you doing?
All right. How you feeling? You know, the same principle.
What's up, girl?
So, okay. Where we at? Matthew? Okay, yeah.
Matthew,
right. Okay, Matthew 19. And then we'll move on. Verse 8. He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is good not to marry. It is not good to marry. So he's thinking, we can't win here. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. And he goes on, for, there you are, Sarah, for, let me explain it to you. The Lord is saying, let me explain it to you. let me give it to you. Maybe you can get this thing. Because really the marriage, he's saying marriage is like something else. It's like the relationship you have with me. And he says this, for there are some eunuchs which were born so from their mother's womb. They don't have relationships. They're not able to. Okay? And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. Now, he's giving you the examples, right? He says some are made eunuchs. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs. For what? For the kingdoms of heaven, kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Are you able to receive that? All right, let me help you out. Mm-hmm. He said, the eunuch is, he's not able to have union. And the union is a, the union is an example of his dedication to God. So he's using the physical. He says, look, there's some guys who are born eunuchs. So he's thinking of the physical. And he said, there's some that are made eunuchs. Still talking of the physical. And then he says, now there's some that make themselves eunuchs for the kingdom's sake. In other words, he's saying, there's some that totally dedicate themselves to the Lord. He said, can you receive that? Can you receive that? You, in other words, he's saying, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's why, look, okay, one more. Yes. He said, look, don't we have power to marry?
Sure.
Don't we have power to lead about a sister, a woman, a wife? Sure. He said, you know what? But I haven't. I haven't done that. Why, Paul?
Not being entangled with things of this world.
Yeah. He said, Peter got it. Peter has one.
And then doesn't it talk about with women, about caring for a husband or caring for the cares of this world?
Same thing. He says that, look, he says that you may attend unto the Lord without distraction.
Is the first two talking about physical?
Yes.
Only physical?
That's right.
Okay, okay.
That's right. And the last one, it's that's spiritual. Why. Right. He said, that's the one I'm after. It's the one that makes that conscious decision to stay committed to me. Yes?
Yeah, I mean,
no? Maybe?
A little. Yeah.
What?
I would never got that on my own.
I'm just feeling. I'm just feeling.
Which have made themselves eunuchs is also can be a physical thing. In other words, they've refrained from women, specifically on the physical side, in order to commit themselves totally to the Lord.
That's and okay, yeah.
And then on the spiritual side, you're saying they refrained from worshiping another god, from idolatry.
Right, exactly. That's what the Lord's after.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah,
but, one?
Yeah, he's not talking about taking a vow to be, you know.
Right, just like the 144,000 virgin males, they're not.
There you go.
Without wives, they are just dedicated to.
That's it.
One union.
That's it. One more.
Paul says about. in 2 Corinthians 11, he says, I've espoused you to one that I may present you
as a chaste virgin unto Christ. Right. The people.
And then he's going to talk about another Jesus.
And the more you see those passages, the more they'll make sense to you, because it's always underlying the principle underlying. One more. Wow.
The rabbit got you.
Okay.
Got back out of the rabbit.
Don't you do it.
You finish up your thought.
Just one more. Where he said this about the resurrection. He said, look, the brother had a wife, and then he died, and then his brother, and then this died, and then his brother. In the resurrection, whose wife is going to be? And he said, you do err, not knowing the scripture, nor the power of God. He said, for in the resurrection, they neither or are, but they are as the angels of God. And we talked about that. The angels of God, like Gabriel said this, he says, look, I stand in the presence of God for this very reason. Is when he says, deliver this message, I deliver this message. When he says, do this, I do it. When he says, go, and I go. He said, that's my only purpose.
So in marriage, where the woman is the helpmeet in the spiritual, we are the helpmeet of the Lord.
That's it. Listen.
As to the Lord.
This goes on every level. Watch this. I got it. Let me steal like 2 minutes. Three. All right. All right. All right. You start with the man, right? His whole purpose is just to be the image, which is to worship and serve who?
God.
The Lord. The marriage, it's a type. This whole thing is spiritual dedication. That's what it's a type of. It shows the dedication with the Lord, the union with the Lord. I was thinking these things. Remember with the Jacob's daughter, where they, you know, that where they were in the Leah and Rachel, and so she has her son, and she said, "I have borne him 3 sons," and she said, "Now my husband will be what? Joined to me." Mm-hmm. Because I've borne him 3 sons.
Don't make
him
pretty.
That's, but anyway. She said, now he's going to be dedicated to me. But anyway, family, the same thing. It's a type. And even today, this is just an extension. You have even the nation, where this whole, like the family, would be just an extension, but they are all to be a light to the people that's out there. It's like they can see that these people are what? With the Lord. Where, right, wise understanding people. I was trying to think of as the nation began to develop. Well, it was just one man and his family. Yes? Okay. Right. And it turned into a what?
Nation.
Now, today, we still have this. If a man know not how to rule his own house, he can't. How can he do what? How can he rule the church if he can't rule his house? Because this is an example of that. And all of it is for the Lord. The whole thing. Every level.
kind of like this chain of command.
Look, the whole thing is for him. No, that's our, you know, our biggest problem today is we can't get outside of us. Mm-hmm. We think that this is for us. Mm-hmm. You could say that 1,000 times, and we still say, "Lord, give me." Because I do it. I know you do it because I do it. But you, that's why he said, look, and you have to leave your mother and your father and do what? Follow me. If you can't do that, I don't want you. Well, he didn't say exactly like that, but he says, he says, Lord, I just married. Let me go. Or let me bury my father. And he said, keep going. Don't go. Don't come back. Man, that's kind of hard, isn't it?
He can take this.
Look, if it's one thing that we can learn from this lesson, and we kind of shot the Hebrews, is it's never about us. And yet, he leaves it up to us. That's the dichotomy of grace. He said, listen, he says in Corinthians, he says, the man that's joined to a harlot is one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. He says, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are yours. Oh, 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 yeah. Which are what? God's. All the way back here. Can you receive that?
I got a quick question.
Let me close. Let me close out. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We pray that as we continue to look into your word, that these things may become more and more clear to us, that you might open our understanding, open our eyes of our understanding, that we might grasp the truths that you have for us, that they may be clear to us as you would have them to be. We just thank you again for this time. We thank you for the time we spent in your word. We thank you for each member here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.